This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of each month, we get together with Lisa Wozniak of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters to discuss environmental issues from a statewide perspective and sometimes a national perspective. And today, we're going to do a bit of both. Lisa, as we discuss a number of things that are impacting the quality of water in Michigan, well, that's where we're headed.
It's always an interesting challenge, David, to squeeze all of these topics into one short segment, but here we go.
Exactly right. And as part of our First Friday get-togethers, we always invite in a guest to help provide more perspective and information. And today, that guest is 12th Congressional District Representative Debbie Dingell. Congresswoman Dingell, thank you for the time today.
Oh, David and Lisa, it's always great to be with both of you.
Representative Dingell, as you know well, you've been hearing a lot about this, there is PFAS contamination in the Huron River, and that contamination is in the Ann Arbor water supply, although at low levels. This contamination has impacted Flint. It shut down a community's drinking water supply in West Michigan and other parts of the state. And that is just a few of the notable issues caused by these chemical compounds. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's happening with PFAS, both in the Ann Arbor area and, frankly, at the federal level?
So, as you know, this week we even had a hearing about this. Not even. It was about time. We had a hearing in the Energy and Commerce Committee about PFAS. But let's take a step back. You know, in recent years, our understanding of the chemical PFAS and its presence in our environment has been growing. A lot of people may not realize that PFAS is a man-made chemical that we are now getting more and more understanding of as a threat to human health when it's found, whether it's in our drinking water, food, or consumer products. So there are studies that we are now seeing that date back a number of years, knowing that we had this problem, but we've only been shining a spotlight on it in the last few months, really. We've seen firsthand across Michigan that there are 34 confirmed PFAS contamination sites in existence that have unsafe levels of being detected. Now, if you go to Michigan, the Ann Arbor Municipal Water Supply has been a confirmed site of having PFAS in the water. At the moment, they say that the standard is safe, but what we need to do at both the federal and state level, like we needed to do on dioxin and the plume, is to relook at what that safe standard is, and both the EPA and DEQ, or the state, need to reexamine and issue a new standard on PFAS.
So one of the things that I think is really interesting and important, Representative, is that the EPA's health advisory level is 70 parts per trillion, and that's what the state of Michigan has actually adopted as well. What studies are showing is that, number one, those levels should be 6 to 10 times lower, and second, that is not a drinking water standard. It is a health advisory standard. So I'm wondering, as Michigan has a proposal in the state house for a 5 parts per trillion drinking water standard, and we've seen other states adopt standards as well at 14 parts, et cetera.
Well,
it hasn't been adopted yet at 1, but that's been the Harvard study's advice, is 1 part per trillion for drinking water. Do you think there's the momentum at the federal level to move towards a holistic drinking water standard for these chemicals?
We absolutely have to do it. Unfortunately, we have an EPA that is going backwards, not forwards, on way too many regulations. I hope that they understand the criticalness that people's drinking water needs to be safe. Representative Pallone actually introduced last year the Safe Drinking Water Act, which specifically addresses PFAS contamination. I'm a co-sponsor of this bill that would require the EPA to publish a MCL goal and promulgate a national primary drinking water regulation, not only for PFAS compounds, but would include a number of other chemicals we need to be thinking about. It's absolutely positively critical that we look at that. We've come out of Flint and seen what's happened with the poisoning of the water in Flint. And now PFAS, quite frankly, can be a far bigger issue. And when we just sit here and talk about this today, the reality is that Flint's far from being the only city that has lead in their drinking water. We've shut the water down for the school systems in Detroit just to be safe, to make sure that the kids aren't drinking any water that has lead in it. We have a very antiquated infrastructure system. We think of the roads and the potholes. We need to be worrying about our waters and our pipelines, too, and what we're delivering to people in our homes every day.
This is First Friday Focus on the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking the challenging issues facing Michigan waters with Lisa Wozniak of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Lisa, there have been improvements to the lead and copper rule at the state level, and given the lead and copper contamination in the Detroit public schools, as Representative Dingell mentioned, that's the evidence it was needed. Is there more that needs to be done in Michigan and around the country on that front?
Well, you're right, David. The state did approve new changes to Michigan's lead and copper rule, creating, I can proudly say, the strongest lead standards in water in the country, and forcing the state to address the replacement of our over 500,000 lead service lines. Now, that said, a couple things. One is Michigan has often been the leader on a variety of environmental issues, at least historically we have been, and then the federal government has followed, and Congressman Dingell, your wonderful husband, Congresswoman, was the leader on many fronts in this arena. I strongly believe that the federal government should be doing this. I guess I'll turn this question to Congresswoman Dingell. Will the federal government actually strengthen our lead and copper rules?
Well, I asked our former EPA administrator, would he commit to do that, and when would he do it by? He ducked it a little, but did say that it was at the front of their agenda. You need to have more hearings with our acting EPA administrator now and continue to urge him to take such action. I mean, I think that if people are listening to this, this is one of the challenges, though, that the listeners here have elected representatives that really understand how important this is, and this is one of their top priorities. But voters across the country have to say to the people that they're electing, our water needs to be a number one priority. We've got to put common sense ahead of dollars. You know, what we've seen in Michigan is a lesson about the dangers of putting dollars and cents ahead of people. And so if people really want to see these regulations, and these are just a couple of the contaminants that we're talking about right now because they're so front and center, and they are in so many of our waters around Michigan. We need to be looking at very stringent clean water standards and ensuring that every American's got access to very clean, safe drinking water.
Since you brought up the issue of dollars and cents, might there be a way in the near future to direct federal appropriations to help Michigan better address these ongoing and growing issues?
Well, I would like to see us do that, David. I mean, you know, if you want to take it to a higher level and not very specifically just on drinking water, though, the Trump administration's most recent budget request cut the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative by 90%. Now, legislators on both sides of the aisle from all of the states around the Great Lakes did not let him get away with that, and we were able to restore that money. But right now, we have an administration that just simply doesn't place a priority on this. So we've all got to keep fighting, and we've got to make sure that our delegation together. Now, I will say that Fred Upton is paying attention on PFAS, as I have been. We've been asking questions together during this August recess, and we are looking at, having had this hearing, we'll be looking at introducing some legislation, PFAS-related, probably next week or the week after.
So, Representative Dingell, there is another issue at play here right now, and Congress is working to repeal the Waters of the U.S. rule. I think this is something you're very familiar with, an Obama rule on the books in 26 states, including Michigan. And this rule expands drinking water protections, which we're talking a lot about, those protections covering wetlands and small waterways. Does this repeal effort have real legs in Washington?
You know, one of the unfortunate things is that with this White House, I don't want to be political today, but I can't not be political, that this White House, and I'm not quite sure about the new head of EPA. I'm not sure that he is as bad as Scott Pruitt was. But, you know, their global warming's not real. We pulled out of the summit. He's put out his clean power plan. I mean, this administration does not share the concern of many of us about the environment, and they are rolling back environmental regulation after environmental regulation after environmental regulation, and they're doing it by executive order. Now, we're introducing legislation every day trying to get hearings for it. One of the hearings that we did insist upon was this PFAS hearing this past week to have hearings and try to get legislation through, but this is when people at a grassroots level who really do care about their water and the air that they're breathing and the impact on the environment, not only for us but for generations to come, need to make sure that they are having their voices heard loud and clear, and that they do not want to see us go backwards. We need to go forward.
Let me ask you this. We've painted a rather dire picture today, and I don't want to quite leave it like that. Where do you see room for optimism?
Well, I think that room for optimism is that you can look at what happens when people pull together. And our Great Lakes are, you know, they're more than 20% of the world's fresh water. And Republicans and Democrats together said, no way are you going to do anything that's going to threaten the Great Lakes restoration initiative. And I do think that there's enough people who really care about these issues that while we are temporarily concerned about what is happening, and when we make our voices heard, we can protect ourselves. You know, it's interesting for me to go back to, I was looking at some clips the other day, and when John Dingell introduced Clean Water Act legislation in the 60s, I quite frankly don't remember it. I was a babe at the time. Do you know that people across the country screamed about how much money it was going to cost, why it was a bad idea? Now, can you imagine that kind of discussion happening today? People are becoming more and more aware of the air that they breathe, the water they drink, and the importance of fighting to ensure that we do clean it up and that we preserve and keep it pristine. America, when communities come together, they make their voices heard, they do win. And we are going to continue to win that fight of environmental stewardship.
Lisa, any final thoughts or questions?
You know, the only thing I would say is I concur with Representative Dingell completely. Polls have been showing that clean, affordable, safe drinking water is a number one priority for people in Michigan. So I'm looking forward to November and seeing how we pull together to make sure that the folks that are elected actually have that as a priority.
Well, thanks to you both for the time and the conversation today. Much appreciated.
Deeply appreciated. Thanks to both of you, and thanks what you do for all of us to educate and advocate.
This is Democrat Debbie Dingell. She is the 12th Congressional District Representative. And the other voice you heard this morning is that of my partner for First Friday Focus on the Environment, Lisa Wozniak. She is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa will do it again in October.
I always look forward to next month. Thank you, David.
I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.